Monkeypox, see, monkeypox do. Welcome to the Great Reset, everybody. Executive Director David Waterman, Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislavski from the Midwest Public Health Coalition, and joining us on the show today, too, Father Stephen McKenna is back in the studio. Always have a great time when these three gentlemen are in the studio. Your show, by the way, brought to you by Executive Properties. If you've been putting off that remodel or something new around your house long enough, let Executive Properties get it done. They do all types of commercial and residential work, decks, windows, siding. You know, Executive Properties, they'll take the time to listen to what you want done, and they're going to do it right. With over 30 years' experience, let Barry Romo and that crew take care of you. They offer senior and referral discounts. They're willing to work with any budget. So for all your general contractor needs, call them up, Executive Properties, 701-330-1273, or check out their website at executiveproperties.org, and make sure you check out the reviews on Facebook and Google. You're going to love their work. They're your one-stop company that does it all. I know these guys personally at Executive Properties, and they do a great job. Have any questions or comments for any of the panel today? Our number is 701-213-0863. And like we do every Tuesday on The Great Reset, we don't put this show on Facebook or YouTube, but you can go to the GFBS.com and click listen now. It's live, or if you want to chat, click the Twitch link in the upper left corner. The Rumble link, by the way, is posted on the GFBS Facebook page, too. Before we get too much further into the show, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. You know, I grew up with Steve Jobs, Johnny Cash, and Bob Hope. All right? Steve Jobs, Johnny Cash, and Bob Hope. Well, now there's no Jobs, no Cash, and no Hope. Please don't let anything happen to Kevin Bacon.
I like that.
You didn't even hear
that. Was, oh, man, it was the best ones this year.
Huh? Okay.
I grew up with Johnny Cash.
I grew up with Steve Jobs, Johnny Cash, and Bob Hope. Well, now there's no Jobs, no Cash, and no Hope. Please don't let anything happen to Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, that was good.
Hey, that was good. All right. We got an applause from Paul, the producer. All right, like we do every Tuesday, I'm going to go through a couple of things here before we open up the mics. But through May 16th now, 14,680 deaths from the vaccine. That's according to VAERS. Under the age of five, COVID vaccine is nearly ready. Nearly ready for kids under 5 years old. They're also saying now COVID-19 might be triggering dramatic hair loss.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm not. Okay, maybe I was a little bit. Let's see here. I want to tell you a little bit about this conversion therapy. Have you heard about conversion therapy? An effort to ban conversion therapy for LGBTQ youth won a majority in the Republican-controlled Minnesota Senate. But it didn't get enough votes on a procedural maneuver to advance to a full debate on the bill's merit. Now, around 19 other states and several Minnesota communities have banned conversion therapy. Now, if you don't know what conversion therapy is, it seeks to change the sexual orientation of those undergoing it to make them straight. The American Psychological Association says it's not based on science. It is harmful to a participant's mental health.
Who said that?
They just said science.
So, John, can I know that you normally go through these things kind of one after another, and then we go and we talk about other stuff. But can we just stop there for a minute and just address what you just shared with us?
Okay, okay.
I think you said the American Psychological Association.
Yes, they're the one says it's not based on science. Okay, it's not based on science.
American Psychological Association, that would be the APA.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do you know that in 1970, in fact, through the mid-70s, the APA engaged in what they're now calling conversion therapy, which back then was just called, I don't know what they called it, sexual orientation or sexual attraction. I don't know what they same-sex attraction. I don't know what they called it back then. But they engaged in having people. So here's the deal. I wish they were listening, but they're not. I don't think they watch this show.
Probably not.
A man walks in to a psychologist, and he says, listen, I find myself attracted to other men sexually. And the guy says, okay. And the man says, I don't want to have those attractions. I want to be sexually attracted to women, just like my brother and my dad and my, you know, all these other people. That's what I want. And the psychiatrist or psychologist says, okay, I can help you with that. And over 70% of the men who went in to see counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, because they had same-sex attractions, were successfully treated so that now they are sexually attracted to women.
Mm.
Then in the mid-70s, they said, you know, maybe we need to rethink this whole thing about counseling people and calling same-sex attraction a disorder, because prior to that, it was considered a psychological disorder. Now it's celebrated by the APA as healthy, normal, and natural, even though people who are gay or homosexual around the world have a higher rate of all kinds of mental illnesses, including risk of suicide, drug addictions, drug overdoses, all those kinds of things. I see Dr. Stanislavski is sitting here beside me, shaking his head, nodding his head, yes. And so even though that, even in countries and cultures where homosexuality is roundly accepted and even encouraged, they have the same. So prior to that, in the United States, they said, well, the reason that we're drug addicts and that we're alcoholics and that we commit suicide so much is because we're not accepted by society. But there are plenty of places around the world where they are accepted by society, and they still have those same high numbers of those issues, those problems. So the question is, why is that? And is the APA really making a determination based on science, based on what numbers they can see right in front of them? Or is it based on something else, like a social or political agenda? And it seems that those people who have successfully under, and I don't call it conversion therapy, because the people that have this same-sex attraction, if you look into their backgrounds, especially for men, it's different with in some senses, different with women. What is this guy, an expert on this? Well, I've studied it for years, actually. But there are causes. There are causes. They've looked forever for a gay gene, never found one. And there are actually nature versus nurture.
Sure.
There are experiences that young men have that actually cause them to suddenly feel attracted to other men. And we know what those are. And we can have a whole show discussing that. But I take umbrage at the title conversion therapy.
Yeah.
Because it's not conversion therapy. No. It's just therapy.
I also want to know why it's not scientific to engage in conversion therapy as a possible means of helping somebody out in that regard. But it is scientific that a 6-year-old puts on his mom's high heels and he can go undergo hormone therapy and, you know, and begin his transition, pubescent transition into a woman. You know, that's science, though.
Yeah.
The science of thought control.
Right, exactly.
That's right. Yeah. And so, I guess, what is, how does conversion therapy done, I guess? I don't know anything about conversion therapy, and so I'm just curious if there is actual science. And you kind of said that 70% of people
more than 70% of men who had same-sex attraction successfully after therapy. And by the way, I'm talking about secular therapy. Mm. I'm not talking about when they go in and they see a Christian minister or a Christian counselor who also introduces Jesus Christ into the equation to bring healing to that individual who has, because there's also a spiritual component.
Right.
They have a much higher, even a higher success rate.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. The assumption and the reason it's called conversion therapy is because you start with the assumption that this person was born gay.
Right.
That has to be the assumption, or you can't call it conversion therapy.
Right, right.
Because you're converting from what you were born as into something else. And as Reverend McCullough quite clearly stated, McKenna, confusing with the doctor, that there's nothing wrong with somebody who's biologically male but suddenly says, no, I think I'm a girl now. That's all fine. That's all science. But somebody who says, I'm attracted to this guy and I don't want to be attracted to that guy. I want to be attracted to that girl over there.
Yeah.
Okay, no. That's wrong. We can't allow that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that is pure politics and social engineering, sure. And thought control, mind control.
They're creating the circumstances for children now to think that that's normal, where you have a normal affection for your best friend in fifth grade. You know, it's just a natural love of one of your best friends, and they're like, oh, well, maybe you're attracted to this person sexually. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing now. You know, and that's a behavioral science domination is right. What is achieving this.
Exactly. It's interesting because of all people, there was a clip I saw the other day from Bill Maher who was talking about this, and we certainly don't agree with Bill Maher on a lot of things.
No.
But he was talking about this and saying that, basically suggesting we've gone too far, because he was saying that the numbers, of gay people and transsexual people and all these other things are so far above what they used to be before, mm-hmm. that there has to be actually like a cause and effect relationship here. It can't be just something that, is, arbitrarily appearing. And as he pointed out, he said if it wasn't for that, then essentially Ohio would be shaming them, must be shaming them, and California must be creating them, or is it a social construct because you grow up in this type of environment that is essentially, pushing this agenda, and when your mind is young and impressionable and confused and everything like that, that it's oh well, everybody's saying that I should do this, then maybe that's where I'm supposed to be going, and that is the real problem, is that it's become normal for all of these kind of these things to be sort of like trendy almost.
Good way to put it.
Yeah. When we were in high school, I mean, one of the, that was one of the greatest insults to receive, that, if somebody goes, you're gay. And you're like, well, wait a second. No. And then you stand up and you're ready to throw down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now it's, I've talked to people that are younger and they've said like, oh, in the public school, it's almost weird if you haven't had like an experimentation and this stuff.
Say you're a straight man and you were an athlete growing up and you have some young boys, and it's like, you don't push them into sports because you were an athlete. Don't push them into their sexuality. Just let them grow up. Yeah. Let them be damn kids. Let them figure out what they want to do. Right.
Yeah, it's like a friend of ours said that, now you think you're my 7-year-old kid thinks he's a girl, then he must be a woman. Well, yesterday you thought he was a dinosaur.
So right. Exactly.
That's the new age. They got furries now. Yeah. So there's dinos coming next.
There's so much mental illness going on in our country that's being accepted as normal, that the man who, I guess, Dan, you said that there are several men have made statements like this, that a day is coming when anyone who tells the truth will be considered insane by the rest of society. And we're fast approaching that time if we haven't. I'm talking for the north, for the Midwest, for the flyover country. I think it's already that way in California and New York.
Yeah.
But here, you talk about the trending social issues and how even Bill Maher sees this massive upsurge in people who are trans, who are gay, who are whatever the alphabet soup currently is. Are you familiar with the tick issue? None of us are psychiatrists or psychologists here, right? I just want to make that clear. But if you know the truth, it's still true, whether you have the PhD behind or in front of your name or not. So this tick issue, it was very trending on TikTok. I think it's still going on. There were some a young girl from, I think, out of England, who had this tick that she would say things and she'd jerk and she just started making TikTok videos, and she talked about it, and there were these words that she'd say, I don't know what was sugar beet or something, I can't remember what the word was, and then suddenly other girls from the US started making TikTok videos, and they had very similar ticks. And so then there's this idea that somehow people with these tics are not ashamed anymore. In fact, they're getting feedback. People are texting in and writing, saying, oh, you're so cute. I think that dick is so cute. And this, they're encouraging that. Mm-hmm. And then more girls are doing this. Here's the curious thing. These American girls that have these tics that are now making TikTok videos, one of the tics is that you suddenly blur out a word that is not consciously chosen and projected.
Like Tourette's kind
of. Like Tourette's, similar to Tourette's. Except that the words that these American girls were saying were words that are common and fashionable in Great Britain, in England. These girls didn't even know these words until they started watching these other girls with these tics on TikTok videos. Some of them actually went in to see counselors and psychiatrists, and the psychiatrist's response was, this is something that we really need to study, because it seems there's great evidence to indicate that there's a psychological thing that happened where they suddenly saw this behavior as being acceptable and even desirable in society, that somehow they could gain credit, they could gain favor with other people, gain people's admiration and people's more likes by having this problem. And so they're developing this problem. They're saying the problem is real, but the genesis of it isn't a psychological or emotional or traumatic thing that happened to them or something that's wrong with their brain. It's totally psychological, in that they went, wow, that would make me more favorable in the eyes of TikTok viewers.
Yeah.
And so they then have now this real problem that's got to be treated. My point is, to your point, is the same thing happening with sexuality, sexual identity? I clearly think that is happening.
I mean, if you want to think about it too, it's we had not only a trend of people developing tics, but you had a trend of people licking toilet bowls.
Tide Pods.
Yeah, and what? Eating Tide Pods. I mean, you know, if we're at that point in society, anything, you know, if, you know, you're impressionable at a young age towards anything. And that's to the point of, like I said, licking a toilet and that being a normal, like people were getting sick because they were licking toilets. And that,
is that serious?
Seriously, yeah. There's like an online trend of people taking video of themselves licking dirty, like, public toilet bowls.
What?
Yeah. And it was there's a problem with it that I had read about it in the news. So it was,
my dog does it. What the hell?
Well, I think he's selective, though.
He seems happy.
Just a couple of more quick things. I know, David, you're running for school board along with a lot of other people here. Yes, but this popped up for me today. Chinese third graders. Now, China's been in the news around Grand Forks, of course, a lot lately. But think about this. Chinese third graders, they're learning They're learning multivariable calculus. I never even took calculus in high school, all right? So these third graders in China are learning multivariable calculus. Our third graders are being taught men can have babies.
Yeah.
That won't end well, I don't think. And finally, monkeypox, according to the World Health Organization, you know, the title is Monkeypox, See Monkeypox Do. According to the World Health Organization, monkeypox is primarily spreading through sex. And finally, one last thing here before I turn it over to the panel, is the K in monkeypox silent? Because it sure seems like it, you know. Had a guy come in here yesterday, I'm worried about monkeypox. Well, yesterday I think there was 2 cases in the United States.
Yeah.
I think there's 4 or 5 today, and they're completely spread out all over the U.S. It just...
Hope that guy doesn't go have sex with those people.
Yeah.
Or any more monkeys, dang it, you know. But,
yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wrong one. I was going to go... There we go. Okay.
You should give it the but.
Wrong one. There we go. Monkeypox, see monkeypox do. First off, to my left, Dr. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's always wonderful to be here.
David Waterman, also in the studio. And again, welcome back, Father Stephen McKenna. It's always fun having you in the show. Monkeypox, see monkeypox do.
Well, this discussion about homosexuality actually dovetails really well with monkeypox, see, and monkeypox do. Because... Well, as you alluded to, the WHO says that monkeypox is primarily spread through sex, but it's not just sex, actually.
No.
It's homosexual sex. It's men having sex with other men. And the outbreak, so like WHO calls emergency meeting and monkeypox cases top 100 in Europe. This is few days ago. But the major outbreaks besides England are occurring in Spain and Belgium, and it's associated with two rave sex parties at homosexual events.
For those who don't know what that is, you want to describe what a rave party is?
Oh, you get...
You've been to a bunch, haven't you?
No, I haven't. But you get very high on drugs, you drink a lot of booze, and you turn the lights off, and you dance and have fun, and then start shagging, I guess. This is what I'm guessing is happening here. And this is what's so interesting, too, is because I don't know how easily monkeypox is spread. It's just a funny word, but it is the smallpox version that spreads to monkeys. That's why it's called that. There's cowpox and all these other poxes, right? But homosexual, like HIV, okay? The riskiest mode of transmitting HIV is through anal sex, and it's like a 0.6% chance. So you, again, as we're talking about the mental disorder amongst men that are homosexuals, is they're very promiscuous. And so that means you have to have sex, anal sex, about like 160, 180 times or something like that, just to spread it, just have it. Right. Yeah. I see your face. I mean, yeah. So this is when they're all getting, I mean, I'm sure they're sharing needles and there's all kinds of other things happening here. But it's monkeypox is through a respiratory particle. So it's basically like you have to be breathing heavily on someone right next to you, or through sexual transmission, and I don't know how.
Spit, open wounds, things like that.
Yeah, or the scab, mm-hmm. You know, the scabs come in contact. And that's the thing, too. Like, there's, like, the major side effects of this are the usual fever, chills, that, and then it's extremely swollen lymph nodes, or having contact with open source, right? Mm-hmm. And so the source is the symptom. And that's, like, an obvious symptom, right? This is the difference between COVID, whatever COVID is, and this, it's like, oh, the dude's got big open sores on his face. It's like, gee, maybe I should stay away from him, you know? So this thing really can't spread like COVID-19 can, right? And so this is why it's so interesting how all of a sudden it's all over Europe and it's all over America. Four spots, like you said, Right. I mean, so what is happening here? It's either fear or there is a deliberate spread of this thing, right? Because we're not talking about, I mean, it's... This was May 20th, so 4 days ago. So let's give it 2 weeks. Was this train of homosexual men spreading that fast, where they're just shagging everything from, you know, across the Atlantic, you know, and then it's spreading.
The word of the day, shagging.
Yeah, like, well, how seriously serious questions have to be asked here. How is this spreading like this? And also, they are gearing up for PCR tests. Interestingly, the Wuhan lab was doing a bunch of recombination experiments, of course, with the monkeypox, and they have a quantitative PCR, which is the diagnostic. It's RT-PCR quantitative. They don't need to do the RT in this case. RT, transfer reverse transcription. That's when you have to change RNA into DNA before you do the PCR, the polymerase chain reaction. In this case, these orthopox viruses are double-stranded DNA viruses, so they already start out as DNA, so you don't need the RT part. So they already have the qPCR templates ready to rock and roll should they need to, just like, oh, you're feeling sick? Well, come get a qPCR test. That's not the same thing. The RT's not there, so come and get it, you know? So that's a real... I mean, again, that's why it's called monkeypox C, monkeypox 2. It's the same thing over and over again. And I'll let you guys go for a little while.
You know, I just don't get it, and I want to get this out there. If I accidentally touch a certain part of my body, accidentally, it creeps me out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm disappointed in myself. You can only do so much and be clean and all of that stuff, but there's times where it creeps me out. I just don't get the whole thing, but maybe it's just I'm old school. There, I got that off my chest.
Your mom trained you well, huh? Yeah. Some good training sessions when you were a kid.
I want to know that how it is that we have become conditioned as a society to basically like, oh, there might be a flu out there, so everybody stay home from work, put masks on their face, alter their lifestyles in these gross ways that stop society in its tracks. But the idea of saying like, hey, there's a monkeypox going around, maybe we should like cut back on the gay rave parties in the society, and it's like, well, you can't No. I mean, they must continue on. You know? Where's the 6 feet of social distance in those situations? I mean, it seems
that would be.
You're gonna wear a condom for the rest of your body.
That would be intolerant. Yeah, that's something that I've actually recommended. You know, if we're you've got to wear a mask because your mask protects me, my mask protects you. When we did that whole thing, because just in case, I said, well, under that same logic. Everybody should wear a condom and all kinds of other things, just all the 100% of the time, all day long, just in case.
Absolutely,
just in case.
Hopefully, you're not allergic to latex.
The COVID-19 can be spread by fecal oral transmission, so everyone has to wear a diaper.
Okay. Oh, yep, there you go.
Goodness.
Right. It has to be a very finely meshed diaper, too. You know, it's got to be.
Well, they're doing tests now on wastewater and things like that. It's like. What do you think? Somebody's going to go drink something out of your retention pond that just came out of my, you know?
No, that's been for more than a year.
I know. And it's ridiculous.
They are licking toilets, John. I mean, we just talked about that.
They are licking toilets. Well, you would hope, Father, that when they're licking the toilets, they would flush it first. I would think.
Well, if you want the real high.
They really want to get the real high.
It's sort of like some people rock climb and some people like solo climb without the rope, you know? Right.
Does it occur to anybody other than me that we're at a place in history, in our society, where there's no such thing as saying something that would be considered absurd by some people? I mean, no matter how insane an idea is, some people say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's reasonable. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in a society that has no standards for right and wrong, no standards for up or down. Logic, illogic, anything. Licking a public toilet?
Well, when you ask a lady, do you believe men can get pregnant and give birth? Yeah. And she says, yes. Mm-hmm. How? You prove it to me. How can that?
Childbearing
we
persons.
We all know you are wrong, but you will testify in front of whoever and say, oh, no.
Do you know that's actually a direct assault, and this is why I said earlier that this is a spiritual issue as well as a physical and moral issue. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, I think it's Proverbs 6, can a man give birth? I mean, God asked this rhetorical question in Scripture to make an obvious point, because, right, it's rhetorical, but the answer is, of course not. But today they're saying, oh, yes, he can.
Yeah. How? Yeah. Well, then they don't answer.
When you turn reality on its head, mm-hmm. then you have no foundation for anything anymore. You have no foundation for anything. No foundation for anything.
Yeah.
So if you can, and what does the Bible say about that? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Yeah, and like what you're
saying. And again, a rhetorical question, the answer being nothing.
Right. Yeah.
So I like a lot of good stuff there. So especially the part about people, well, it's all good, but like accepting like the extreme insane ideas as okay, right? The problem is now that, again, truth lies, like I'm about to say something here that people will be like, oh, that's conspiracy theory, right? That what I'm about to say is insane, whereas licking toilets and, you know, eating Tide Pods and stuff is
that's normal,
rational,
that's
right?
Yeah,
and rational. So what's happening here is there are people that are analyzing all this stuff. And they're seeing how much of our society has been dominated by the licking toilets and the Tide Pod fads and whatever it is, whatever these things are, especially amongst the youth, right? Yeah. I mean, our generation's already gone. Well, Father and my, we're the same age. Our generation's toast, right? It's already super bad. The next generation, again, is gonzo.
Worse.
Yeah, so they're deliberately people producing this false sense of reality. And one of the very important things about it is, and again, it's culture industry. It's one of the primary purposes of the culture industry is to maintain the status quo, right? The status quo thing. And a lot of the status quo is the CDC, for example, in terms of medical or whatever it is, this thing. Certainly, you know, all aspects of the culture is status quo. And again, that's why we see like conservatives there. They don't get it. I mean, that's why it's so powerful about it. It tricks good people. Good people, really good people. Good people, and to be like, as long as I keep voting Republican, everything's going to be okay. As long as these Republican candidates get in there, everything's good. No. We need, again, new thinking that comes from outside the box, a new understandings that people don't get to be spread across enough people that we can actually make a change.
Right. And that's the most powerful part about it, too, is that, you know, like you said, it being a spiritual problem. Well, really, when you break it down to its base point, you know, what is the thing that separates man from beast? It's the immortal soul. And what is the primary function of the or outward sign of a mortal soul's presence is the use of reason. Mm-hmm. And when we suspend rational thought, when we suspend that exercising that great gift that's come to us, then it becomes groupthink, then it becomes party politics, then it becomes debauchery in all sorts of forms as being normal. It mm-hmm. becomes, you know, disorders becoming explained away as simply natural, or yep. phases that children go through as a permanent solution to their lifestyles. All of these things and more go away. Because why? Because TV tells me that this is normal, and so now I don't have to think for myself any longer. I don't have to, you know, that's the whole entire push behind putting all these like non-government agencies in charge of so much of our society. It's amazing how little anybody's talked about the fact that they're literally trying to put the WHO in charge of enforcement of healthcare decisions upon world. Like, not just countries, but the entire world. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And nobody has had a choice to decide whether those people should be in there or not. Right, nobody had. For them.
They're not elected.
But yep. you don't even know who they are.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's the amazing thing. Nobody, I challenge anybody out there to name two people that are members of the WHO. And when you realize that you can't think of two names as part of that organization, and they're going to make widespread worldwide policy decisions based on, you know, magical diseases that may or may not exist
if we let them.
And we're not talking about that. That's not something that you're watching on Fox News every day saying, right. like, storm the streets and burn down the Capitol building.
You know what I mean? I just wanted to chime in really quick because, I guess I'll ask you this, John. Why do you think that they say that men can have babies?
I don't even want to answer. I don't know. I'll say something dumb.
I'll tell you, and this is why it's so absolutely disgusting. So you can have a female teenager that can go get her breasts carved off, and then later on in life, hook up with a female that identifies as a male, or no, a male that identifies as a female. But now, because the one that got her breast carved off, mm-hmm. she can still have a baby, but she identifies as a man. Mm-hmm. So that's how men can have babies.
Right. That's I think Paul got it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think Paul got it. Yeah.
Hey, way to go, man!
And that's and in case anybody is listening, saying, "Oh, that doesn't happen." Yeah, it does happen. I actually know someone that happened to, a beautiful young woman who, really beautiful. I mean, really beautiful young woman who went to. School left Grand Forks to study in Colorado, and was persuaded that she's really not a beautiful young girl and that she's not a girl at all. And so she had a double mastectomy, which I think that any surgeon who performs that procedure on a perfectly healthy young woman should be charged with mutilation. Mm. And sent to jail, because nobody should be doing that to anyone. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you say my body, my choice. Yeah. But if you're a doctor, if you're a medical doctor, whether you're a surgeon, a dentist, a family practitioner, whatever, and you do harm to someone's body just because they want to, because they think it's okay, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. You still are bound by your Hippocratic Oath, assuming that people still take those.
Yeah, they're not allowed to just cut off somebody's arm because they want
to. Because they want to.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Back to your point, Dr. Stanislavski, when you said that the status quo, you know, that people are trained to maintain the status quo. I think that only, it's interesting that only applies with activities that are essentially, that have the appearance of good, but they don't actually do good. Right. Like you said, continually voting for the guy with the R after their name. Oh, as long as I vote Republican, so I'm good. That kind of status quo is very effective for those who want to take away our rights, our freedoms, and our country. But you notice that status quo is never good enough for those who are promoting the LGBTQ agenda or critical race theory or anything else. And so they create problems where there are no problems and create division where there was previously unity.
But right? The problem with the status quo is that that's the problem. That it's not static. If it was stationary in its reality, maintaining the status quo wouldn't be all that bad of a concept.
No.
But people assume it's a static reality. In reality, it's extremely dynamic and it's constantly moving, and it's moving always in one direction.
Yes.
Because I mean, you know, from a societal standpoint, you'd say it's like the path of least resistance, and from a spiritual standpoint, you'd say it's the path of fallen human nature. You know, from the fact that we are inclined towards things that are evil. You know, based in hedonism, but essentially, you know, contrary to what our rational being tells us that is the right thing to do. It's it's more difficult to do the right thing than most of the time than it is to do the wrong thing. It's,
right.
And the reason why we are attracted to the wrong thing. It is the easier path to go. And so, you know, water flows downhill. And same thing with the societal action. If nothing is there to stand against it, that if it's just allowed to go wherever it wants to, it's going to go in the wrong direction. It's not going to go in the way of virtue, you know, the need for you know, forcing yourself to do the hard thing, you know, basically opposition is what forces virtue. You know,
but very well.
Yeah, very well. And I think Dan's point was that the perception of maintaining the status quo is actually just perception.
Yeah.
It's really not, because what's happening is you think that you're maintaining the status quo of something good, and in reality, it's being allowed. It's
well,
you're letting it be taken away.
That's from what you. Exactly I mean by it. So, like the people that are just like, well, you know, we just gotta, you know, keep things normal. Every day it's a different normal, and every day in there they don't realize. It's almost the frog being boiled to death. They don't realize that it's going, still trending in the same direction, and you're just saying, well, if you know just we've allowed this but we're not going to allow that, but then that thing comes in, it's like, well, we've allowed this but we're not going to allow the next thing. That's where it ends up going. And you think, I mean, where we are as society now, if you look 10 years ago, I mean, we're talking about things that would have been almost unimaginable. Yeah. And it's
absolutely.
And it's and that's the new normality, you know, like, well, we can't say anything about people that, you know, transition from man to woman or woman to man. If you said that 10 years ago, I'd be like, wait a second, these people need probably some help.
Yeah, they're self-censoring. Like, that's actually called, I covered that in the political pornology book. It's called egotistical thought terrorism.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, it plays upon your egoism to be like, oh, egotism, to be like, oh, look, I can't say anything about them, you know, because these thoughts, this thought that's put in my head is actually really important, really, really important because I have it, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's manufactured for me, and that's the terrorism aspect, right? But it's the terrorism aspect, putting these thoughts in my head and like, oh, my inclination, like, oh, that's evil. But nope, this, I have to maintain this pattern of thought because it's mine, right? Yeah.
The Great Reset. We'll be back. We're going to take a little break here. I'm going to talk about Oh for Heaven's Cakes on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. Good homemade, I mean, awesome homemade baked goods. Best cupcakes and cakes, whether you got a special occasion or just a treat. Boy, they got good stuff. Walk in and find out more. While you're there, you can enjoy homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. Maybe you're a business owner, want to treat your employees to a little treat. Check out their monthly employee discounts. Again, on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. Call 701-757-CAKE or go to ohforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Graduations are going on. Did you order that graduation cake yet? Well, maybe you should get a hold of them, all right? Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Monkeypox, see monkeypox, do the Great Reset.
So.
Executive Director David Waterman, Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislavski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, and Father Stephen McKenna in the studio today. Welcome again, everybody. Where did we leave off? Sorry, we had to go do that.
Yeah, no, there's more aspects of this too that are, again, monkeypox, see monkeypox, do. It's so everyone, I think, will recall that there was a planning exercise previous to COVID, just a few months before. It was called Event 201, which was, you know, hosted by Johns Hopkins University, World Economic Forum, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Turns out there was a tabletop exercise for monkeypox. For monkeypox, March 2021. It was hosted by the Nuclear Threat Initiative, NTI, in conjunction with the Munich Security Conference. They held a tabletop exercise on reducing high-consequence biological threats. This fictional exercise scenario involved the simulation of a deadly global pandemic involving an unusual strain of monkeypox virus that first emerged in the fictional nation of Brinia and spread globally over 18 months. According to the NTI, again, that's the Nuclear Threat Initiative, this exercise, which was developed in consultation with technical and policy experts, brought together 19 senior leaders and experts from across Africa, the Americas, Asia, and Europe with decades of combined experience in public health, biotechnology industry, international security, and philanthropy. Philanthropy is a big part of that. The exercise culminated in a report published in November of 2021 titled Strengthening Global Systems to Prevent and Respond to High Consequence Biological Threats, results from the 2021 tabletop exercise. Okay, here we go. Some key findings from the exercise as well as actionable recommendations for international community. Is the need for a more robust, transparent detection, evaluation, and early warning system that can rapidly communicate actual information about pandemic risks. What does that sound like? Again, we're living this, and it's Groundhog. You ever see that awesome Groundhog Bill Murray movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day. It's over and over.
Over
again.
And over. Yeah. Like a broken record.
Yeah.
Old days of radio.
Gaps in national level preparedness, which will require national governments to improve preparedness by developing national level pandemic response plans built upon a coherent system of triggers that prompt anticipatory action despite uncertainty and near term costs. Described as no regrets policy making. Nah regrets, brah. You remember that? Fat? Yeah. Nah regrets.
Brah.
Nah regrets, man. Gaps in biological research governance in order to meet today's security requirements and be ready for significantly expanded challenges in the future. And insufficient financing of international preparedness for pandemics and a lack of financing for countries to make the essential national investments in pandemic preparedness. So they're pumping tons of money into the world, the globe, again, to have this one standardized thing, this one standardized response across the world.
And again, I mean, think about the thought control, the mind control aspect of it. it would require us to grant a lot of things for the sake of argument. But even if you do, we had two pandemics 100 years apart from each other. We're expecting a yearly pandemic of a different sort every time because we've created this new narrative.
The pandemic of the month.
Exactly. That yep. It's like fruitcake, you can't give it back. You know?
Right.
It's
just. It's he's coming up with some good stuff today.
Yes.
But it seems like it's turning that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like these, you can join these wine clubs and these food clubs and get your steak of the month or your wine of the month. Well, now it's the pandemic of the month or the pandemic of the year. But, you know, they're already the variants. It's like they just keep coming up with brand new ones. But and then now throw in monkeypox. And I mean, come on.
And I also think it's very telling, too, that it has to do with the NTI because something doesn't probably people wouldn't assume by me being a priest. But I went to college before I was a seminarian. But I was one of the first classes in the United States to take a course available called Weapons of Mass Destruction, and it was all about nuclear and biological warfare and everything like that. And it ended up that for years I was on a weekly mailing list of updates from NTI about threats and technological developments and all of these things. But I think people were probably wondering, why is there a nuclear program involved in a pandemic idea? But that's the very idea of it, is that this is not an accidental thing. This is a biological weapon which has been released. And that's why NTI is involved in that, is because they are the monitors and overseers of everything revolving around biological, chemical, and nuclear warfare. And so it's not like this is an accidental thing. This is, again, something that is most likely created, and NTI's presence in that panel is not coincidental, I don't think.
So you said pandemic of the month, and that's something that actually we predicted at MPHC a year and a half ago. We said they're going to find a way to roll out a new strain of this so that they can maintain the fear and the control, because you can't control people unless they're fearful. It's very easy to control fearful people because their reasoning ability is greatly diminished when they're fearful, which is why, as I've mentioned on the show before, we just had yesterday at my grandmother's, my mother-in-law's apartment, there was a fire, a little fire. One of the dryer caught on fire, apparently, or there was a fire inside the dryer at her apartment building. And so the fire department came, and we got to take everybody outside and enjoy the nice air. But firefighters will tell you that many people who die in house fires had a readily available, safe method of escape. But because they are so fearful, when they realize their house is on fire, they actually turn and go in a direction that ends up trapping them.
Yep.
And they die in the fire instead of escaping with their lives when they had an easy method and means to do that. That's the reason that military people train. That's the reason that the law enforcement trains. So that when you're in that situation where fear grips you, your training kicks in and you are able to do the logical and the rational thing and save your life instead of perishing the way you would have if you hadn't had the training. Right, Paul?
Well, I just wanted to jump in because if you want a good laugh, you have to watch Firefighters in Reverse Are Assholes. Okay, it's literally they'll take clips of like people that are saving people from a fire and put it in reverse, so they're just grabbing these babies and bringing them up the ladders into the windows. It's
how
hilarious.
That come from
Paul.
Hilarious.
Just look up Firefighters in Reverse. It's
all right.
Well, that's all. I mean.
Exactly. So the point is that training is important, and training is a part of preparation. And our country was not prepared for what we've gone through over the last 2.5 years. We were not prepared, and as a result, the fear factor kicked in, and people were taken off guard, and they didn't know what to do, and so they followed the instructions of those people who actually were seeking their demise.
Well, I mean, that's the natural thing, right? People want
leadership,
and that's if you had this, to use the fire analogy, if there's somebody that all of a sudden came into a building, burning building, and said, "Everybody, follow me to safety," then they're gonna, "Oh, okay, that guy." He might be a sociopath that's like, you come into this trapped room here, and I mean, probably unlikely in that scenario, but it could be possible that he's, come this way and you'll perish. But they don't, there's no question in their minds of like, "Whoa, that guy says come this way." What is his level of understanding of the problem and his expertise in the situation? Yeah. It's just some random person said, "Come this way. All right. It's better than the solution I have right now. So I'll just," and they'll walk away from a door to follow after that person.
And the problem is that the people that said, "Come this way," or "walk this way," or "act that way," or "live that way," those people actually were behind the whole pandemic and the fear that accompanied it.
A big guy like a torch and a gas can standing there. Come this way, everybody.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Only people didn't recognize it because they said, well, they got the CDC after their name, or the FDA or the AMA or the WHO. And these are the people you have to be able to trust, the NIH. No, they are not trustworthy at all because those institutions have all been deeply, deeply compromised by men who do not have your best interests at heart.
We need to create a way so that we can train people. Like, even, if it's subliminal, that's all right too. Whatever we got to do just to train them so that when the fear mechanism kicks in, their immediate response is to go destroy the government. That's exactly what needs to happen.
Just to do boom, what?
Destroy the government. Boom. Like, if they're, once they're afraid, it's like, hey, it's the government's fault. Let's get rid of it. So this report,
an interesting conjecture.
This report continues, though.
Yes.
So that what it wants to do is boost international systems for pandemic risk assessment, boost the implementation of national level triggers for proactive and pandemic response, including the adaptation of no regrets. I like this so much too. Like that they call this no regrets. It's like they're telling you that it doesn't matter how much collateral damage there is. Right? It doesn't matter how many people that their policies actually kill think COVID-19 so-called vaccines, right?
Yeah.
It's no regrets. As long as we adapt, implement this policy, doesn't matter. That's the victory. Wow. I mean, it's like people got to realize that the system, you are a piece. You exist to serve the system. That is the status quo, actually. You exist to serve the system. The system no longer exists to serve you. Everything is essentially a commodity exchange nowadays, including our justice system, and certainly our education, certainly the science system. All of this is not, you are nothing. You are there to serve it. And what is coming down the pike here is they're going to need less of you. They're going to need less of us.
And
for the system to keep
going. And also, it's a surprise to people because you often hear the term, you know, the means justify the end. But when people don't expect the means to be sort of the end in a sense, that it's, well, you know, if we create a warning system on our phone about diseases, or you have a health update thing that it takes biometrics for you, and then it could tell you if you're safe to go outside and everything, well, that just keeps me from, they're thinking that the mean is justifying the end, that, oh, it's safe for me to go and interact with grandma, and I'm not going to get her sick. But the reality is the means was the actual end, that they wanted to be able to control your life and to dictate what you're going to do and to have that control over so much of every aspect of your life, so that they can, you know, pull you in one direction or another just based on what an app says on your phone, or a warning on your television, or a caution on your radio tells you to do. And you just have that Pavlovian response of like, oh, I have to follow that and just go. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned cell phones, but apparently we now find out that the CDC has actually been acquiring cell phone data to track whether or not somebody followed the guidelines of you got to quarantine, you got to be isolated.
Yeah, they were doing that right away.
They're going to be surprised when they see my cell phone bill.
Yeah, because people aren't smart enough to leave their phones at home, right? Well, nobody anymore.
Apparently,
how many people leave their house without their phone?
I do. Well, I did it to come to the studio
on purpose.
I think it's actually subconscious on my part. I do it all the time.
Okay.
I do it all the time. Well, ask Dan. All the time.
But in reality, people are more likely to forget their phone, their keys at home house than they are their phone.
Yeah,
right. That's the reality.
I was on my way to work this morning, and I heard something thump in my truck, and I thought, what the heck was that? Well, then a guy asked me a question. I stopped at a convenience store this morning and got my bottle of tea, and he said something about the weather, and I said, well, according to my phone, what I saw this morning, the weather is supposed to be fine, for Friday. And so then I got back in my truck, and my phone wasn't there. And I'm like, oh, goodness, I was going to have to drive. I was going to go all the way back home to get my phone, and then I went, wait a minute, I heard something drop. Here, it just fallen between the seats. But that's how panicky I am. And I was one of the last people to get a cell phone. I was one of the last people to go on Facebook and all of this stuff. But I'm finding out I would be lost without my phone. I really, truly would be.
You know, I often refer to my phone as my camera. By accident, I'll say, oh, yeah, where's my camera? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Oh, I mean my cell phone. But what if we started referring to it as more accurately what it really is, our tracking device?
Yeah,
I forgot
pretty much.
I left my tracking device at home. Because that's really what it is.
Yeah.
Imagine if somebody told you, we're going to set up cameras in your house, and we're going to bug all of your appliances in your rooms, and we're going to put a monitor around your ankle, and we'll always be able to know what you're saying, what you're doing, see what you're looking at, and we're going to record everything that you watch on television,
24/7,
and we'll know where you are, what you're doing at all times. You'd say that's insane, but if you said, but you're able to look at like firemen in reverse at the same time while you do it, then it's perfectly okay because we have a little like a mind-numbing entertainment device that...
But it's even worse than that. It's, we're going to do all those things, and it's only going to cost you $47 a month.
Yeah.
We will charge you for it.
Yeah, you'll pay for that.
Kind of reminds me of a joke my neighbor tells me one time. It went something like, I was talking about my wife... talking to my wife about the fact that I didn't want Alexa or any of that because with our cell phones, because they're listening to us. And, you know, she laughed at me, and I laughed, and my phone laughed, and Alexa laughed, and they all laughed. But, I mean, and a lot of people think that. Well, we know. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It's a fact. Funny. You can be talking. Say, for example, I'm talking about a new weed whacker that I'm thinking about buying. all of a sudden you'll see ads start popping up on your smartphone that has to do with who's got weed whackers on sale, all these kind of things, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't even, it's like having a child with you almost. You got to watch what you say,
right?
You know, around these ears.
It is tracking and it's recording constantly. And these apps that people download for free, remember, the smart guy said it. I don't remember who he was. He said, if the app is free, the product is you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
that's a great point.
And yeah, perfect point at it too. He said, I travel a ton, so it knows where I go on airplanes, and it hears me talking about airplanes a lot. So I get regular advertisements for private jets. Like, want to buy a jet. I'm like, maybe you should, you know, hey, government, if you're watching me, maybe you should look at my bank account and realize that's not going to happen. You know? but it's the level of, like control, subliminative control. It said, oh, this guy probably wants to buy a plane now. And it's like, I mean, yes, I do, but I don't, like, can't. But
yeah. He wants to get enough frequent flyer
miles. Anybody's
miles.
Listening that wants to, like, donate to the Me Have a Plane Fund, go be like, feel free. I mean, that's.
Can you win a jet with frequent flyer miles if you have enough?
No.
Can you get your own?
Unfortunately, Pepsi Points allowed you to win a Harrier jet way back when, but that was.
You could have landed it right in the parking lot.
Parking lot. Yeah, exactly.
What's that noise? Ah, it's Father McKenna. He's coming back.
He had all those Pepsi points and he got that Harrier jet.
It's like back in the day, Marlboro Miles. You would see all the guys with the mullets wearing a Marlboro jacket and you knew their grandma probably smoked 800 packs to get them that Marlboro jacket. But
I knew a guy that drank so much Mountain Dew that he won not one, but two like grand sweepstakes from Mountain Dew in his lifetime.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's scary. Wow. I'll be using it to fix his teeth.
Don't know.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, so, I mean, this report continues on with the developing international systems for new financing mechanisms, for new supply chain resilience mechanisms, international supply chain resilience mechanisms, right? So, again, a internationalized system, totally, right? A new way forward.
And a precursor that you're going to have supply chain problems.
right. Which, again, we're starting to experience, right?
Predicted that as well.
Yeah. And so, there's a lot of, again, this is so similar to what was happening with COVID-19 and the endless propaganda.
Did you say anything? I had seen bits and pieces out there about the monkeypox did you come across anything about the possibility of a either already existing or very soon to exist vaccine for it?
Father, you took the words right out of my brain. Because the United States of America has bought $119 million worth of a monkeypox vaccine.
How did that come to be so fast?
Yeah, it was actually a few weeks before the outbreak they ordered it.
What?
We have this vaccine for this disease that will be coming to you soon.
Yeah. we'll show you the trailer right now.
Exactly. Here you go.
Oh. I have so many tabs open, and so I apologize. I'm going to find the article here.
How did you?
Great minds think alike.
It's a great. Wow.
I don't know. Sometimes I come across articles and I'll see the headline and not have time to read it.
Right.
But then my brain will just hold on to the fact that
sure,
this thing was there. And and then I'll think, oh, Dan probably knows about this. And
that's
right.
Kind of same with me when I'm taking my notes. As long as I got the headlines, I know. One of the panel is gonna know what I'm talking about, at least most of the time. Sometimes I surprise these guys.
Yes, you do. $119 million worth of monkeypox vaccines purchased by the U.S. government before the outbreak.
Before the outbreak.
Maybe they should have done that with baby formula.
People should let that set in. I don't even know what the status is of the baby formula.
Well, they're flying it in from overseas now.
Okay. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, so the company's still shut down in the U.S.
It sounds like it.
FDA has not returned the call of the president of the formula-making company.
I have no idea.
Makes most of the formula.
I'm glad I don't have kids. Yeah. Young kids.
Only biology found a way around that whole entire problem.
Is that something? Is that a trust the science thing?
It's like, if only there's a way that we can create food for babies without having to mix it in a bottle out of a bunch of chemicals.
That would be convenient.
Yeah, we had this conversation last week about that.
You know, it's a good thing, isn't it? it's a good thing that baby formula factories just kind of sprung up, just kind of evolved before people did, so that that formula was available and ready as soon as the first human being was born.
Yeah, it would have been really hard if in the garden they couldn't get there. What would happen? Soy-based formula.
The kid would be eating fruit right away.
Yeah,
I mean, what do you do?
Or something.
Yeah, so yeah, they ordered this. It's $119 million placed by the U.S. with the option to buy $180 million more if it wants. Should that second option be exercised, it would work out to approximately 13 million doses. And it's a the order will convert existing smallpox vaccines, which are also effective against monkeypox, into freeze-dried versions. Mm, give me that freeze-dried vaccine. That's what I want.
Wait a minute.
Could you say that again? The smallpox versions, which are what?
Which are also effective against monkeypox.
Smallpox vaccines are effective against monkeypox. That's what you're saying?
Right.
Well, is it the
same family of viruses, right?
So now there's going to be another round of people with a dime-sized scar on their arm.
So,
My question is it going to be another mRNA type of vaccine?
I don't think so. Standard? From what it sounds like.
Well, if a smallpox vaccine also works for monkeypox, then why even make a monkeypox vaccine? I mean, why make any distinction?
Because according to the science, it's only the smallpox vaccine is only 85%.
Well, and then that way Big Pharma can't make their money off it either.
So in other words, it's only 85 times more effective against monkeypox than the COVID-19 vaccine is against COVID.
Or monkeypox, for that matter.
You want to say something?
Oh, well, I was just, when you were talking about the milk shortage thing, I was just thinking of when Biden was talking about preparing for hurricanes. Did you guys see that?
If you live on a coast state
like Florida or Texas and there's a hurricane coming, the best thing that you can do to prepare for it is to get vaccinated now. He literally said that. So if you are in a state where there's a shortage of breast milk, make sure that to prepare for it you get vaccinated now.
Yeah, don't worry about the breast milk or the formula.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just so stupid. I get it.
You know, Marie Stewart makes a point about the phone that they've made it almost impossible to travel without it. And so, they want to keep tabs on us constantly. It's like being on a leash, like you said, with the ankle bracelet and all that stuff, taking your phone with you everywhere. And I experienced that when I went to a football game with my son. He took me to a Vikings football game. And you can't get in without your phone. You cannot get in without your phone because the way that it works now with, I don't know if this is Ticketmaster the Vikings thing, you can only show that you bought a ticket on your phone. You can't bring a physical ticket.
What happens if some old geezer wants to go and doesn't have
a phone? Exactly. He cannot go. I asked my son. I said, he said, no, you have to have a phone. You have to have a phone. That's the only way you can get in.
Well, that's like.
And guess what? That's just starting there, but it's not going to end there. That's going to be soon. That's going to be the only way you get in anywhere.
You know, that's like, I don't know if you guys read our part-time newspaper in Grand Forks, but Saturday. Did you say
newspaper?
Yeah, well, you meant
paper.
Okay, yeah, paper. But anyway, and I know some of this had to do with me and my group, but their editorial was about the fact that people aren't reading newspapers anymore, and the information that is supposed to be given out by the city. They have a newspaper, city briefs, things like that. And this is about that asphalt plant, how they put it in the East Grand Forks newspaper, which you can imagine their subscription numbers aren't very big. Mm-hmm. And when the head of the city council or the city council president was called and asked about that, why don't you put these briefs? Because a lot of people complain they didn't know about this. Why don't you put them in the Grand Forks paper? He says, well, we decided to pick this one because it's our hometown. I said, okay, but when you want a 1.5% sales tax increase to fund this, or you want something for this, or you want something for that, well, then you'll put it in the Herald. But what I'm getting to is there are still people like me. I spend time around a computer. I don't like looking at computers. I'm old school. I would rather have the print in my hand.
Yep.
For one thing, easier to take to the bathroom.
Yep.
But for another thing, there are a lot of older people, like Father Stephen said, that might not have a phone, might not have a computer. They're used to going to their mailbox and getting the physical paper in their hands. But then they have the balls to say, well, nobody's reading newspapers anymore. Well, there aren't any. Yeah. There aren't any. 6-7 years ago, I used to read 4 newspapers every single day. Wow. Every day I read 4 newspapers from front to back because I wanted to be kept up on the world and plus my job in radio. But the newspapers were always there. I didn't have to go buy them. They were always there, but I read all of them. Now, I mean, it's really sad when I look forward to Wednesday mornings going to work because I know I'll be able to get the newspaper one time, you know, that week.
Wow.
And it's just...
What's even more amazing is that they put an article in a newspaper about people not reading a newspaper.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I mean, like, that's, who's going to read it then? I mean, right. Like, it's sort of like when I was driving in Maine one time years and years ago, and they had these signs along the road. It was like driver's tips. So it was like, you know, take a break, stay awake. Yeah. And then you had these other signs. And one of them, as I was going along, said, keep your eyes on the road. I thought, well, you made a sign on the side of the road to tell me to keep my eyes on the road. What are you doing?
It's amazing. You know, even with advertising, Father Stephen, you talk about billboards and things like that. I know the Midwest Public Health Coalition tried to get a billboard. They said no. I know you've tried advertising on different forms of media. They say no.
Right.
But when the big pharmas and the government wants to advertise, they've got a limitless budget.
Limitless.
Well, then the radio stations, and I don't blame them, or the other media sources, they take the money and run. But that's – you can't blame them, but it's just the whole culture has changed so much. Radio, back in the day when I first got into it, people relied on the radio. They relied on when they needed to know something right now, they listened to the radio. Blizzards yep. were a big one. I used to actually drive a snowmobile to work to get to the radio station because somebody had to be there.
Yeah.
If the next person couldn't make it in, you stayed.
That's right.
Because the people needed to be informed.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
But John, I disagree with you that you can't, you know, you don't hold it against them. When Big Pharma or anybody with big, deep pockets wants to advertise something on your station that is going to do, that's going to provide no benefit and do great harm, physical harm to millions of people that take it. And you say, yeah, I'll take the money for that. I'm sorry. Now you're complicit
mm-hmm.
in a scheme that is harmful to the general public, which actually is a violation of the law. The FCC does not allow you to do. You have to provide a public service. That's what you were just talking about. That's
sure.
why you took the snowmobile there, and that's why you stayed there if the other guy couldn't make it for his shift. You can't just say, hey, I'm punching out at 5. Mm-hmm. I'm done. No, you have to stay because that station has to stay on the air because it provides a public service.
Yes.
Because the airwaves that are used by both AM and FM stations are owned by the public, right? That's already yep. established. It's not. They're not owned by the station. The station is granted a license to use public airwaves, but they must be used for the public good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can prove, when somebody like Dr. Stanislavski can prove that this injection that they're giving to people will have a negative effect, will actually harm a certain percentage of the population that takes it, and that there's no provable, scientifically provable benefit in taking that injection other than to enrich the pockets of Big Pharma
sure.
and their shareholders. I would say that the station has an obligation to say, no, we're not going to take that money. You know, there was I don't know if I've told this here before, the story of the senator and the young, attractive, young female aide who begins working in his office and the senator closes the door and he says, hey, listen, honey, would you have sex with me for $10,000? And she says, well, yes, I would, Senator. And he says, would you have sex with him for $10? And she says, what kind of a woman do you think I am? And he says, we've already established that. Now we're just negotiating the price. That's the same exact yeah. kind of logic that goes sure. into what you're talking uh-huh. about. It's the same thing that goes yep. on with the city council, with yep. this Fufeng thing. Do you have integrity to protect the people of Grand Forks? Or are the dollar signs in your eyes just so big and so bulging that you can't help yourself?
Yeah, we could. You should have used that for the asphalt plant. That would have been a great. Yeah, that would have been a great one, gentlemen. I'm going to tell you this right now. We've got another show coming up here soon, so we got just a few minutes. How do we want to wrap this up today?
Well, I'll just say that this
tabletop thing. And NTI is funded by the usual suspects, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. There's a thing called Open Philanthropy Project, which does global health, biosecurity, and pandemic preparedness. Global, I mean, giving hundreds of millions of dollars to produce these things. And again, so it's the same people producing the same thing over and over again, and it's ushering us into actual full-on bodily slavery as well as intellectual slavery, and got to wake up.
Yeah, wake up.
Anything to add, Mr. Waterman?
I think that's a uh-oh, the fireman guy is here again. You know, this is a wake up is the watchword. We've got here's something that's unique, and Dan, you were saying that to maintain the status quo, you get everybody to just keep voting what the R or the D or whatever. But there's a unique situation going on in Grand Forks right now, and probably around the country, I'm guessing. We've got 5 seats open for the Grand Forks School Board. 5 seats open. You get to vote in June 14th. And we have at least 10 very good, highly qualified people who are running for those seats. It's usually just the other way around. You have maybe one or two running that are decent, and a bunch running that aren't, and the decent people rarely get in. But now we have choices of some really good choices. Unfortunately, all 10 can't get in at the same time. So four or five of them are going to have to wait until 2 years from now.
When is the election again?
June 14th.
Okay.
June 14th. And personally, the people that I would like to see fill those slots are Mark Peterson, Elizabeth Delgado. There's a woman named Sonia Lesmeister. I've talked about her before. Marie Stewart is also running. Knows a lot about the school board. Ron Barta. I'm running as well. But we've got to pick 5.
I'm going to pick a date here coming up in the next day or two. And I know Marie, we've been trying to get her on the show. We'll see if we can't get a couple of school board people that are trying to run for school board. We'll pick a date here in the next few days. I'll set the date, and we'll see if we can't get some people to come in and have our own little discussion about that.
That'd be good.
Father Stephen McKenna, again, thanks for coming on the show. Any parting words for the people?
No, I don't think so. Just... use your brain.
Yeah. Use your brain.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let somebody else use your brain for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure having you in, Father Stephen. And, of course, the Great Reset Executive Director, David Waterman, Chief Science Executive, Chief Science Officer, Dr. Stan Sosolsky. What?
I just wanted to close with something, too.
Okay.
So, Fauci said that if Trump gets into office again, that he would quit. So if you didn't think he was a politician before, if he really was concerned about the health of the American community and everything, then that wouldn't be a thing.
Well put. But then again, Whoopi Goldberg said if President Trump got elected, she'd move to Canada, but that bitch is still
she
here.
Lied.
No, I'm
sorry.
She lied.
By the way, I'm really sorry. I almost forgot. This is really important.
Oh, yes.
There is a critical race theory and the miseducation of America's youth. American Experiment is having tonight, this is tonight, at 5:30 at the Ramada Inn in Grand Forks, the Ramada by Wyndham. It's 1205 North 43rd Street at 5:30. It costs $5. You can pay it at the door. You can register online. 5:30, hors d'oeuvres, and then the program starts at 6. And this woman, Katrin Wigfall, a policy fellow at the Center for the American Experiment, we'll be discussing critical race theory and the miseducation of American youth, America's youth. I highly recommend everybody to go. $5, less than a half a pizza, and they've got hors d'oeuvres there. These folks are sharp, and they're going to explain what's actually going on in our public schools, not just across the country, but here in America at the same time. So, 5:30 tonight. 5:30 tonight at the Wyndham Ramada by Wyndham on 42nd. There it is. It's a little see-through. Critical race theory, and they don't call it critical race theory anymore. They have a new. They changed the name so that to fool parents into thinking that it's not critical race theory, but arose by any other name.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
but it's not a rose. Thank you, John.
RealCOVIDFacts.org if you want to find out anything more about the Midwest Public Health Coalition. Father Stephen McKenna, again, thanks for coming on to the show today. I'm looking forward to you coming back into the studios here of GFPS. And again, thanks to David and Dr. Dan with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. And thanks to Rumor Sports Bar and Casino for bringing you the Great Reset today. You know, I talk a lot about the world-famous beer tower and the wall-to-wall TVs because, well, that's kind of what I'm about. But check out their $6 express lunches Monday through Friday from 11:30 to 2 p.m. They've got midweek specials for lunch today. Man, I haven't had one of these since I was a kid. Fried bologna sandwich served with French fries for just $6. Also, today's dinner special, $5 order of wings. How about that? And Mondays is DJ trivia night. And by the way, Rumors is looking to hire some part-time servers and cooks. Stop in to find out more. Rumors Sports Bar and Casino. Well, tomorrow we talk with David Owen about legalizing recreational marijuana in North Dakota. Will it pass this time around? We'll find out tomorrow at 11. We'll talk about it. Hey, everybody, remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. Become a patron on Podbean. You might be able to win yourself a GFBS hat just like this one, all right? Grand Forks is a pretty cool place. We all agree on that. Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.